Reb Soloveitchik has in his book Festivals of Freedom a whole chapter about Moshe Rabbeinu and his involvement in Yetzias Mitzrayim. Now, we're all familiar at the very beginning of Moshe Rabbeinu's career. He is encountered by the Sneh. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has a whole conversation with him. He encourages him to go and save the Jewish people from Mitzrayim. And then Moshe Rabbeinu very reluctantly finally agrees. At the end of a whole conversation, he agrees that he's going to go. He negotiates with Paro. He goes again and again and again. And throughout the whole duration of the story, Moshe Rabbeinu seems to take the center stage. And Moshe Rabbeinu seems to be doing everything. Finally, we come out of Mitzrayim. Moshe Rabbeinu is leading us out. Moshe Rabbeinu is leading the charge by Kriyas Yamsuf. He is the one who does everything. And yet, although that is clearly the case, and although if you read any of the Psukim in Chumash, you will notice that Moshe Rabbeinu's name is mentioned in every single parsha without fail from the moment we meet him. There is not a single parsha where Moshe Rabbeinu's name is not mentioned, except one perhaps, but Moshe Rabbeinu is everywhere. He is the central focus of every pivotal moment of our history, and yet, listen to what Rav Soloveitchik writes, and it's a very important insight. It's not his own, but the way he describes it is very powerful. Moshe's name was eliminated from the pages of the Haggadah. You sit on Leil HaSeder, and although Moshe Rabbeinu was clearly the hero of the story, he was the primary focus of everything that happened, Moshe's name is left out of the pages of the Haggadah, as if he never existed. Aren't we a grateful people? We feel very sorry for him on Pesach night. I remember, writes Rav Soloveitchik, that when I was a small child, I asked why Moshe is not mentioned in the Haggadah. And all the answers my father gave me, which were similar to the explanation I have given here, were unsatisfactory. Simply, I cried. And finally, my father, in order to calm me down, found the name of Moshe in the Haggadah. When we say, Vayaminu b'Hashem uv'Moshe avdo, so we stuck his name in somewhere there. But it's not even a mention of Moshe Rabbeinu's role. It says nothing about his involvement. It doesn't tell us anything about what he did. This calmed my mind somewhat, but I still felt that we were committing an injustice against Moshe Rabbeinu. How could it be that Moshe Rabbeinu is not mentioned throughout the entire description of Yetzias Mitzrayim? How can you talk about what happened by Mitzrayim without thinking about Moshe Rabbeinu and without describing his involvement? So the truth is, this is not Rav Soloveitchik's insight. This came way before Rav Soloveitchik as well. We have a Medrash in Shir HaShirim, commenting on the Pasuk in Perek Gimel. Akuma na va'asova va'ba'ir. Shir HaShirim, as we know, we read it on Pesach, and we speak in great detail about the husband and wife who have a love affair with each other, and one is looking for the other, and they seem to be missing each other. So here, the woman goes out in the middle of the night, she turns to the bed next to her, and she sees that her husband is not there, and she starts to go around the city looking for her husband. Akuma na va'asovava, I got up from my sleep, and I started to be mistovev, I started to wander around the streets, bashvakim uvarachovos, in the marketplace, and in all the highways, and the streets in the town. Avaksha eshaava nafshi, I'm searching, I'm inquiring, I'm asking anybody, have you seen my beloved? Bikashti velo mitzasiv. I'm looking for him frantically, but I can't find him. That's the pasuk in Shir HaShirim. Says the Medrash, what does it mean that I'm sleeping at night and I wake up and I'm frantically looking for somebody who I love? Says the Medrash as follows. This is a reference to Laila Shel Mitzrayim. This is a reference to Leil HaSeder, to the night of Pesach. Bikashtiv eshaahava nafshi, I look frantically for the person that I love, is a reference to Moshe Rabbeinu. I sit throughout the night of the Seder and I look for my beloved Moshe Rabbeinu, our great teacher, our great leader, the one who saved us. And I look through all the pages of the Haggadah, and I sit an entire evening with my family, and I recount all the miracles, and there's no mention of Moshe Rabbeinu. Bikashtiv velo mitzasiv. Says the Medrash, all of my looking turns out to be meaningless, because I just don't find a mention of Moshe Rabbeinu. So it's strange. But let's take ourselves back just a few weeks to Purim. And as we know, the Gemara says there is a close connection between Purim and Pesach, which is why the Gemara says when you have a year like our year, a leap year, where you have two Chodesh Adar, we celebrate Purim in the second month, in order to be masmich geula legeula. We want to talk about Purim as close as possible to Pesach, because there is an underlying theme between both of these holidays. There is something that connects the two of them. So let's think back to the Purim story. And I think it is indisputable, I think all of us would agree, that the heroes of that story were certainly Mordechai and Esther. And yet, when we daven on Purim, and we say Al HaNisim, and we think about all the courage that it took for Mordechai to do what he did, Lo Yichra V'lo Yishtachave, Mordechai would not give in, and he would not bow down to his enemy Haman, even though it was at a tremendous personal loss. Mordechai was teaching children Torah at a time when there was a decree that one was not allowed to do so. Esther, as we know, went in, Uvechein Avu El HaMelech, I came into the king, even though I was not invited, even though he did not initiate the conversation. She risked her life, he risked his life, and they went and inspired the Jewish people to stand up and do the right thing, and to be involved in the process of tshuva. It is clearly that they were the ones who were responsible for saving the entire Jewish people, and yet, with all of that, with their incredibly valiant spirit, and with their unbelievable energy that they put together, the strength to galvanize the Jewish people to this movement, there is no mention of Mordechai and Esther and Al HaNisim. All we talk about is Bimei Mordechai ve'Esther b'Shushan HaBir. It happens to be, just to give a historical context, this happened in the days of Mordechai and Esther, just so you know which period in history we're talking about. But outside of that, there is no discussion about their involvement. Why is that? How can that be? How do you leave out, are we not grateful to Mordechai and Esther, who actually made the entire redemption possible? Are we not grateful to Moshe Rabbeinu, who is the one responsible for everything that we experience today of being a free people, of being the Am Hashem? And the answer is very simple. The answer is that on the night of the Seder, we have an opportunity to remind ourselves that in every generation, yes, it is true, the Ribono Shel Olam, God Himself, chooses His prophets, chooses His messengers, chooses His people that He wants to be His emissaries to bring about good into the world. But at the end of the day, it is our obligation to recognize and to acknowledge that it is God Himself, it is the Ribono Shel Olam Himself, who operates and who orchestrates everything that happens in our world. You can look at a story and you can see Moshe Rabbeinu being involved, and you can see Mordechai doing what he did and Esther doing what she did, and do not take away from their greatness and from their courage, from their stamina, and from everything that they did with the great leadership that they showed us. You can have all those great people, but don't ever forget that ultimately it's God Himself. It's the Ribono Shel Olam. And without the Ribono Shel Olam being the one in charge, there is nothing that could ever get done. We would never be anywhere. We would never accomplish anything. With all the gvura, with all the leadership, with all the strength, it is HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'chvodo v'atzmo. And that is what Leil HaSeder's central theme is all about. This is why Leil HaSeder in many Svarim is referred to as the Leil HaEmuna. It is the night in which we reaffirm our commitment, our belief, our understanding of how critical the role of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is in all of our lives. And in fact, when Moshe Rabbeinu in the very beginning of the story is asked to go down to Mitzrayim, to negotiate with Paro, to get the Jewish people out and to bring them out to freedom, this very notion is spoken explicitly to Moshe Rabbeinu from the moment that he was chosen. What does HaKadosh Baruch Hu say to him by the Sneh? Lachain Amor Livnei Yisrael Ani Hashem. I want you to go down to Mitzrayim. And the first message you're going to tell them is not that you're going to be a free people. The first message is Lachain Amor Livnei Yisrael Ani Hashem. Most critical lesson that everybody needs to know about clearly is Ani Hashem. And by the way, because I am the Supreme Being, because I am the powerful God, therefore I have the ability to take you out from Mitzrayim. I will serve for you as a God. And the purpose and the objective of all that we're doing, of this whole story of Geula, of everything that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is about to show you as He takes you out of Mitzrayim, all of that is V'idatem, for one purpose and one purpose only. That you should know, Ki ani Hashem Elokeichem Hamotzi Eschem Mitachas Sivlos Mitzrayim. That's what it's about. The entire Geulas Mitzrayim was about understanding, coming to a recognition. V'idatem ki ani Hashem. To know and appreciate that I am your God. That there's this notion of emunah that all of us need to begin to appreciate and understand. That is what Leil HaSeder is all about. This is why in the Haggadah we say, V'ikesi kabachor be'eretz Mitzrayim, we say that HaKadosh Baruch Hu came on the night of Makas Bechoras and He wiped out all the firstborn children throughout the land of Egypt. And the Baal HaHaggadah writes, Ani velo malach, ani velo ashaliach, ani velo saraf, God Himself comes. You can have Moshe Rabbeinu and Mordechai and Esther. You can have everyone involved. But in the end of the day, it's HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'chvodo v'atzmo. God Himself is the one who is responsible for all that goes on in our world. At the very onset of Magid, we say the same thing. Ilu lohotzi HaKadosh Baruch Hu esabaseinim imitzrayim. If God Himself had not come and taken the Jews out of Egypt, Hare anu uvanenu mushubadim leparo b'mitzrayim. Without God's help, nothing would have happened. And that is our objective on the night of the Seder. Listen to the way the Vilna Gaon explains this. The Vilna Gaon writes in his Haggadah, talks about Moshe Rabbeinu, and he says, obviously Moshe Rabbeinu was not in this for himself. Life is not about me. Moshe Rabbeinu actually refused the task in the beginning. The Medrash writes that the Ribbono Shel Olam fought with him for 7 days until Moshe Rabbeinu finally gives in. So Moshe was certainly not in this for himself, and he was anav mikol adam. He was doing his sacred duty that he was expected to do. But then he writes, why is it that Moshe Rabbeinu is not mentioned in the Haggadah? Shekein. B'chal siper yitzias Mitzrayim ein lanu zikaron lizgar chas v'shalom es Moshe Rabbeinu. We would never dare to speak about Moshe Rabbeinu on the night of the Seder as much as we hold highly of him. Ki aser lanu l'shatev shum davar l'chvodo u'la'atzmo. Ein ha'shevach talei b'moshe rak b'hashem levado. This has got nothing to do with Moshe Rabbeinu. Of course he was critical to the story. Of course, he was the one who was entrusted and who was empowered by God Himself. But when you take a step back and you understand how the miracles happen, when you understand how we became a people and what the significance of that moment is for all of us, there, writes the Vilna Gaon, no one else is allowed to be involved in that conversation. That is about the Ribbono Shel Olam, it's about God and only God. And therefore, you can be as great and as prominent as Moshe Rabbeinu, who carries his leadership with honor and with dignity and pride, and yet your name is never mentioned the entire evening of the Haggadah of Leil HaSeder, because we want to overemphasize this point of making sure that we understand that the Ribbono Shel Olam is ultimately the one who decides, who manages, who regulates, who controls all that goes on in our world. At the very end of the Haggadah, at the very end of the Seder, when some people are already sleeping, so we have a paragraph, Echad Miyodea. It's always something that seemed very strange to me. You know, we spend an entire evening talking about the importance of the Ribbono Shel Olam. My father, for the many years that I had the opportunity to be at my parents' Seder, now they share themselves with others, so they go to other siblings. But when we were all young children and we were all sitting at my parents' table, my father every year used to go through the Haggadah. People always ask me, what does Rav Shechter say in the night of the Seder? The answer is, he tells the story very simply. But what he interjects throughout the story is how the Yud Gimel Ikari HaEmunah of the Rambam actually are emphasized throughout the reading of the Haggadah Shel Pesach. That's the only thing my father adds to the story on Leil HaSeder. So it takes some preparation to actually find where it is. But that's what my father does every year. He sits on the night of the Seder, tells over the story, but he makes sure to emphasize how all of the cores of our belief can be found in the Haggadah Shel Pesach. That is what the Leil HaSeder is all about. So if that's really what we spend our time doing, overemphasizing this aspect of Emunah and recounting the miracles and how grateful we are for everything that HaKadosh Baruch Hu did. Isn't it strange that the way we sum up this night, the way we sum up all the collective feelings that we have from all the discussions and all the conversations and all the feelings and the songs and everything we've done, we sum it up with a poem of Jewish trivia. Echad mi yodea. Who knows the number one? What does that have any connection at all to the night of the Seder? And it's not as if you go through the list and each one of them has something to do with what we've discussed. It seems that none of them have any connection to Pesach at all. You have the 7 days of the week, you have the 8 days of the Bris, you have the Chamisha Chumshei Torah, all very nice things, but what is this doing at the end of the Seder? So is this just to keep the children awake? We don't need to keep them awake anymore. We're finished. They can go to sleep. So why do we end off the night with Echad Mi Yodea? Happens to be this is a question that always bothered me. And it wasn't until I saw an unbelievable insight in the Haggadah Shel Pesach of Rav Avram Shur, who lives in Flatbush. He has a Haggadah called HaLekach VaHalibov. And in that Haggadah, I actually got it from your husband as a gift, so you can thank him. I was never aware of his Sfarim until he gave me a copy. In that Haggadah, he writes what I believe is an amazing insight. And it's something that only, I think, our generation can appreciate because it has to do with modern-day psychology. And he says, for anyone who's in the field of psychology or education, you'll be familiar with the Rorschach test. I don't know if everybody in the room knows, so we'll explain what it is. The Rorschach test is when you're trying to evaluate someone's personality or understand what's going on in their head, so you'll give them some kind of very unusual-looking picture. And you want them to try to define and describe what it is that they see in this image. And by the way that they describe the image, whatever it is that comes to their minds tells you a lot about the personality. So, writes Rav Avram Shur, after we spend such a meaningful evening talking about the meaningful relationship and the deep feelings that we have toward HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we now do a Rorschach test. And we put the number one in front of every Jew at the end of the Seder and we say, okay, let's see if you've gotten anything from the night of the Seder. When I say the number one, what comes to your mind? Do you think about your one car or your one house or your one vacation or your one flight that you need to make or anything else that has to do with one or your one set of keys that you lost? Or do you think only about the one that is most critical for a Jew to think about, and that is Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. That's the test at the end of a night like this. When we talk so much about our love and our dedication and our commitment, well, let's see, how much is that really on your mind? Is that really what you think about all the time? Well, we're going to do a test and we'll see. Echad mi yodea. We're going to put out some numbers. This is not a game. It's not a Jewish trivia. This is, let's see where the Jewish people are holding after a whole night describing their relationship with the Ribono Shel Olam. How real is it? How much do they really believe in it? When I hold up the number two, what is the first thing that comes to your mind? Is it the two appointments that I have? Is it the two nails that got, ruined after I got my manicure? Is it the two other things in my life that bother me? Or is it the Shnei Luchos HaBris? There's no other two in my life. I've spent an entire evening sitting here and developing and talking about my meaningful relationship with God. Is there any other two in my life that has significance right now other than the Shnei Luchos HaBris? I think it's a powerful insight. And I think it's an amazing way to end off the Seder. When you think about it from that perspective, it says so much about what that paragraph is all about, and it gives such rich meaning to what it is that we say, Echad mi yodea. In the Haggadah Shel Pesach, we describe in great detail the many attempts throughout our history to obliterate and to annihilate the Jewish people. And we say, Bechol dar vadar, in every generation there have been personalities, there have been oppressors, there have been people who have tried to topple the Jewish faith and the Jewish religion, and they have never been completely successful. But one of the sentences that we say there is, Arami Oved Avi. We have faced so many adversaries who have tried to destroy us in so many different ways. But the Sfasemis writes, it all boils down to one point. Arami Oved Avi. What all of our enemies and oppressors have tried to do is, Oved Avi, to destroy our connection with our Father. to make us forget what it means to be connected to a father and to think about him all the time. When a person has a sick parent, when you have a sick relative in the family, that's all you're thinking about. And your whole schedule revolves around it, and you're going to cancel appointments and do what has to be done because your parent is not well. Because that's what you're supposed to do as a child. That's what any decent child would do. And that, writes the Sfasemis, is what we mean. Arami Oved Avi, in every generation, what they tried to destroy was our intimate feeling of our connection with our father. That's what they tried to get rid of. And that is the spirit of a Jew that will never be destroyed. You know, sometimes we go through difficulty. And you hear people asking themselves, when they go through these kinds of experiences, do we really have a father who cares about us? So if he tells us that we should daven, we should pray, we should offer a tefillah, well, where is he now? I'm davening and nothing seems to be changing. Nothing seems to be happening and my fate seems to be the same. Oved Avi, those moments of depression, those moments of difficulty are moments in which we ask ourselves, do we really have a father who cares about us? Have we lost our connection with him? Does anything that we do or say mean anything to him? And this is our opportunity on Leil HaSeder to remind ourselves that yes, throughout all the difficulty that we have suffered as a people, we have never forgotten our own father. In fact, the Gemara says in Psachim, there are a few different items that can be used in order to fulfill the mitzvah of maror on the night of the Seder. The Gemara gives a few vegetables, but one of them is tamcha. Taf, mem, chaf, aleph. Tamcha. It's one of the vegetables that's listed as an acceptable item for maror. Says the Chasam Sofer, tamcha is a Rashi Tevas for tamid misaprim kevod kel. Pasuk in Tehillim. Tamid misaprim kevod kel. You can be eating the maror, you can be experiencing the maror of life. You can be that person who everything in life seems to be going wrong for them, where nothing seems to be going the way we ever dreamt or imagined our lives to be playing out, and yet, even though I'm sitting, not eating the maror, but living the maror, my whole life is one big experience of maror. That's all I see right now. And I still am able to gather the strength and say, even under these circumstances, even under these conditions, tamid misaprim kivod kel. With all the maror in my life, I always make sure to remind myself that it is always HaKadosh Baruch Hu that I praise. That it is always the Ribono Shel Olam that I can rely on. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu is always there for me. Even at those deep moments of sadness, of loneliness, of maror, says the Chasam Sofer, this is why Tamcha is one of the items, to remind us that we always have that ability to have the paradigm shift in our own minds and say, I can rely on the Ribono Shel Olam, and I trust in the decisions that He's making for me. And ultimately, everything in the world happens only because He wants it to happen. But I humbly submit myself to that. And I accept that all that's going on, kol ma de'avid rachmana letav avid. As painful a reality as sometimes that is, I understand that the Ribono Shel Olam is the kol yachol. God has the ability to do it all. And if He decided that this is the fate of my life, well, then that's the decision that I accept, and I praise Him nonetheless. This is what Leil HaSeder is all about. We mentioned a few months back, I'm not sure if anyone remembers it, but I hope you don't, because it's something you should mention on Leil HaSeder. I think it's a very powerful message. I said a few months back that Rabbi Lau, when he was in town for Shabbos, had a Malava Malka for many of the communal Rabbanim. And I was so moved by a medrash that he mentioned. I never had seen it before he expressed it. But it happened to be he was here the week of the Pittsburgh massacre. And he got up and he said that he's lived every day of his life fighting anti-Semitism. He's lived every day of his life in fear. He said there has not been a day in his life where he didn't hear some kind of bad news. Either from childhood when he was in Auschwitz and survived the terrible experience that he went through as a child, Or in Israel, he said, in the position that he had, every day he wakes up to hear something that's worse than the day before. But he said on that occasion that there's an amazing medrash, where the medrash goes through all of the members of history who made it their objective to try to destroy the Jewish people. And each one learned from the mistake of the one who came before him. So the Medrash goes all the way back to the first murderer in history. Who was? Cain. Esav looks at the story of Cain and he says, I want to murder my brother Yaakov. But Cain made a big mistake. Shota haya Cain. Esav says, Cain was such a fool, he made such a mistake. What was the mistake? You see, Cain felt a sense of competition. Cain was nervous, I have a brother, Hevel, he's better than I am, you know what, I got to get rid of the competition. And he knocks him off. What he didn't take into account was, he still has parents. As long as the parents are alive, they can still have another child. And in fact, that's exactly what happens. His parents have another child and they name him Shace. And the reason why, says the Torah, is because Kishas li Elokim zera acher tachas hevel b'ni. God has now given us another child because we lost one. So now Cain didn't gain anything. He's back to his original problem. He has another competition now. He has another brother. Esav says, I'm not going to make that mistake. Yikruvu yimei evel avi. I will wait to kill my brother Yaakov until my father Esa, until my father Yitzchak is dead. This way, there's finality. This way I know there will be no competition afterward. I will wait until my father dies, and then I will murder my brother Yaakov, who I hate so much. Comes along Paro and he says, what a big mistake. Shota haya Esav. Esav also did not do his job effectively because he made one very grave mistake. If you wait along all those years until your father dies, Yaakov is going to now have his own children who are going to have their own children. They're too big to get rid of. So Paro says, I'm not going to make that mistake. We have to kill those Jewish children from the moment they are born, from the moment they come into the world. We don't have the liberty to wait until we get rid of the parents. We have to get rid of them now, in infancy. Comes along Haman HaRasha and he says, Shota haya Paro. Paro got it all wrong as well. Because Paro lo gazar ela al ascharim. Paro said, Kol habein hayilod hayorot hashlichu. What about the women? What about the women? Kol habas techayun. So Haman says, there's a problem here because this is a nation where we're told, Vidaseim shonos mikol am. There's something very unusual about this people. What's so unusual about the Jewish people? Many things. But here the Medrash writes that the reference of Haman when he said, Daseim shonos mikol am, was a reference to one halacha, and that is the fact that Jewish lineage goes by the mother, not by the father. So Haman says, there's something strange about these people. What did Paro gain by killing all the males, even if the females will marry into the Egyptian society and culture? They're still going to have Jewish children. They're still going to be a Jewish people. Haman says, we're not taking chances. Lahashmid, laharog, ulaabed. Eskola Yehudim. Minar v'ad zakein, taf v'nashim b'yom echad. We need to make sure we rid the world. Final solution. We cannot have men, we cannot have women, we cannot have children, we can't wait around, we're going to get rid of everyone. B'yom Echad. That was the plan of Haman. Where did he go wrong, says the Medrash? The Medrash says, we come to the end of days by Milchemas Gog u'Magog. We have a tradition that at the very end of days, before the coming of Mashiach, there's going to be some kind of devastating war of Gog u'Magog. Some say it already happened at the Holocaust. Some say it didn't. I don't know. Way above my understanding. But the Medrash says that the second chapter of Tehillim is actually a description of Milchemas Gog u'Magog. So you look at the second chapter of Tehillim on your own and you'll see the references there. But the Medrash writes, comes along Gog Magog and says, Shota haya Kayan, Shota haya Esav, Shota haya Paro, Vishota haya Haman. They all got it wrong. You know why? Because what they fail to understand is that this people has a connection with their Father in heaven. And as long as they are connected to their Father, He will never allow them to be destroyed. It just won't happen. And therefore the Medrash writes, Gog Magog learns from the mistake of all those who came before them. And Gog Magog says, what we need to do is not destroy the people, but destroy their connection with their Father. That's what the Pasuk says in Tehillim, Ninatka es Mosro Semo. We will detach their tie that they have with their God. Vinashlicha mimenu avosema, we will throw away those ropes because we will successfully destroy them when we get rid of their connection to their own Father. And what is the response of the Ribbono Shel Olam in the very next pasuk in Tehillim? Yoshev bashamayim yischak Hashem yilag lamo. The Ribbono Shel Olam will never allow that to happen. Arami Oved Avi. The objective of all of our enemies has been to get to that point. When will we successfully destroy their connection with God Himself? Shelo Echad Bilvad. All we want is that they should not have the opportunity to say, Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. We don't want them to believe in the unity of God. We don't want them to believe that they have a connection with Him. And the response to all of that is, Yoshev Bashamayim Yischak. God sits in heaven and He laughs. It's an impossibility. Ki lo yitosh Hashem amo. God has never left His people and He never will abandon His people. That is what Leil HaSeder is all about. There's a story told about a major Hasidic Rebbe, the Rizhiner, Rabbi Yisrael Miruzhin. And he had a very simple Jew who worked very hard in his community. And on Leil Bedikas Chametz, he came to shul, and he was so exhausted, he was so worn out, he sat down on a bench and he fell asleep. Nobody noticed. He was on his way home, he fell asleep. A few hours later, the minig is you're supposed to do Bedikas Chametz not only in your house, but somebody has to be responsible to check the shul as well. So it was the Rizhiner Rebbe Shtibel, so he had to go check the shul. Took him a few hours to do Bedikas Chametz in his house, and finally he comes to the shul, and all the Hasidim followed him. They all wanted to see how the Rebbe is going to check for the Chametz. So they all come into shul. The Rebbe is doing the Bedika, and he notices this Yid is sleeping, he doesn't want to disturb him, so he quietly tiptoes around him, he tells everyone to be quiet. After he's done doing the Bedika, as we know, the minig of the Jewish communities are that we say Kol Chamira. We declare both at night and then once again in the morning, Kol Chamira. So the Rizhiner Rebbe gets up in front of the shul and he says, Kol Chamira. And this Jew is so shocked, he hears this noise and he jumps out of his seat and he says, I can't believe it. I don't believe it. The shul is full, the rabbi's here speaking. I missed the Sudam of Sekis, he's already up to Kol Nidre. He can't believe it. How did this happen? So everyone starts laughing at him. And they look at him like a very unfortunate soul. And the Rizhiner Rebbe turned to all of them and he said, don't laugh at him. Because all of the inspiration and all of the feelings that you can accomplish on the night of Kol Nidre can also be accomplished on Leil HaSeder. The same feelings of closeness that we have, the same feelings of understanding of God that we come to on the night of Yom Kippur when we say Kol Nidre are the feelings that we can also have if we have a successful Seder. If we do it right. If we focus on that which is supposed to be focused on. As a child, my father used to get so annoyed that our teachers used to give us gematrias to say at the Seder. Doesn't share any meaning with the story of Yetzias Mitzrayim. Zero. I don't think I was ever inspired by any of these gematrias. Never. They're cute. It's what the Mishnah calls parperos lachachma. It's not the main aspect of what Torah is all about. It's parperos. It's the fluff on top, which is nice. But that's not the objective. Leil HaSeder is not to be cute and to say things that are sweet. Leil HaSeder is a time, if it's used in the right way, to make sure that we engender a feeling in ourselves and in our families of what it means to be a firm believer in God under all circumstances, under all conditions. Tamid misaprim kevod kel, as we live the maror, as we eat the maror, we still say tamid misaprim kevod kel. That is what Leil HaSeder has the ability to be if we only do it right. And that said the Rishon Rebbe, don't laugh at this man. He's confusing Kol Nidre with Kol Chamira. He's confusing Leil Yom Kippur with Leil HaSeder, but they're really the same. And I was thinking, if you consider that point, Rav Soloveitchik also has a whole chapter in his book, Festivals of Freedom, about the connection between Yom Kippur and Pesach night. It's a very beautiful chapter. But I was thinking, just building upon that theme, I think there's one major distinction between Yom Kippur, between the time of year when we're in awe, and Pesach night. And that is in the slichos that we say leading up to Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, we mention every day, Kedalim uchirashim dafaknu delasecha. That means that we come before you, we come to your gates like dependents. We come to you like humble subordinates, like people who are totally inadequate. And we wait at your gates, dafaknu delasecha, we bang down the doors and we try to get ourselves in. And we try to allow ourselves the opportunity to have a conversation with you. That's what we feel like when we come to the experience of Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. When it comes to Pesach, as we know, we recite Shir HaShirim. Pesach is all about the love of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and His people. Pesach is all about our firm commitment and our relationship with each other. And in Shir HaShirim, we describe the opposite phenomenon. In Shir HaShirim, we say the following. Ani yishena v'libi er. Kol dodi dofeg. My beloved is knocking at my door. I believe that Pesach is the time when the Ribono Shel Olam is knocking at our door. And he's saying, I love you so much. Look what I've done for you. Look what a life I've built for you. Look how much I've invested in making the Jewish people who they are. And in the contributions that we've been able to bring to the world. And the Ribono Shel Olam stands there and he says, Kol dodi dofeg. Now I am knocking. And now I am presenting myself to you and allowing myself to be vulnerable. All you need to do is accept. God is craving for our closeness. He's yearning for it. He longs it and He expects it. And He wants to see at the end of the night of the Seder, are we prepared to say, Echad mi yodea. What is one all about? Is the primary focus of your life Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad? Is that the knee-jerk response? Is that the reaction? When I mention the number one to any Jew, is that what they think of? Or are they thinking about all the other ones in their lives that are clouding their clarity of vision? That's what the Ribono Shel Olam wants on the night of the Seder. Kol dodi dofeg. Here we are not knocking down HaKadosh Baruch Hu's door. It is not kedalim uchirashim dafaknu delasecha, but rather it is the opposite. It is kol dodi dofeg. Our beloved is knocking at our door. And he's craving for that connection. Kulo ava, with so much love. That's what the Ribono Shel Olam wants to see. So we're at the end of our shir. And every year on Pesach, I have the same feeling. I have the same feeling, and I think it's an important one to share. It's particularly personal for me. You'll understand why. But it has to do with Pesach in general, but really with our experience as Jews as a whole. So they tell a story about a prominent Jew from Vilna who once had to travel to Brisk to have some kind of important meeting with the renowned Beis Halevi. And the point of this meeting was to discuss all the different polemics, all the different issues that were going on in his hometown, in his community in Vilna. And after an extensive conversation between himself and the Beis Halevi turned to him and he said, I have one request of you. What is it? He says, when you get back to Vilna, I ask just one thing. I want you to spend a considerable amount of time with those people in Vilna who are homeless. Interesting. Well, why do you want me to spend time with them? Just to help them out? No. Said the Beis Halevi, I want you to spend time with them, and any time in the future that some issue comes up in the community, any time that there's a political issue, any time that there's a polemic, and something that really needs serious consideration, I want you to go to those homeless people, and they'll be able to resolve it for you. So he's so confused by this conversation. And he turns back to the Beis Halevi and he says, am I missing something? I don't understand. We have plenty of homeless people in Vilna. But how do you expect that these homeless people who don't contribute to society, who don't really understand the way most of the community lives, who don't really have an appreciation for what a community is about, how are they supposed to be the ones to give us guidance and to give us clarity on the issues that face the entire community? And the Beis Halevi explained as follows. We say in Hallel, a description of the Jewish people, what we refer to them in different ways. Beis Aaron, Baruch Es Hashem. The Kohanim are referred to as the people who come from the Beis Aaron, from the home of Aaron. The Levim are the ones who come from the Beis Halevi, Baruch Es Hashem. These are very prestigious families, and whether they do anything in life to deserve the position of honor of being a Kohen or a Levi, it doesn't matter. They're born into the Beis Aaron, they're born into the Beis Halevi. But then in Tehillim we're told that there's a third category. It's not the Beis Aaron, it's not the Beis Halevi. But there's Yirei Hashem, Baruch Hu Es Hashem. Those who have true Yira Shamayim, those who have a real relationship with God, are not part of any home. It's not something that comes because of who your parents were. It's something that you need to work hard to develop. And therefore, when we refer to that category of Jews, of the Yirei Hashem, we do not refer to them as those who come from the base Yirei Hashem. You can come from the greatest family. You can come from very holy and righteous people. That does not say anything about who you are. That does not determine who you are going to become and what you will stand for. And that, writes the Beis Halevi, is what his advice was for this man. Go back to Vilna and make sure you spend time with those people who don't come from the Beis Aaron, from the Beis Halevi, the politicians, the famous people, the important ones. Find the people who made it on their own. Those who are the Yirei Hashem. Identify those people in your community who struggle through life, who overcome obstacles and impediments, and who yet are connected to the Ribbono Shel Olam because they've made a choice to connect with Him. Not those who come from the pre-existing home of a Beis Aaron or a Beis Halevi. You know, every day in our Uz Yashir, we say it in Psukei Dezimra. It's a highlight of the Psukei Dezimra. But it's also a highlight of the celebration of Pesach. As we know, Az Yashir was the song that was composed at the time of Kriyas Yamsuf, of Yitzias Mitzrayim. And every day we mention the famous Pasuk, Zeh Keli Ve'anveyu, Elokei Avi Ve'arom Emenu. This is my God and I will glorify Him, I will beautify Him, the God of my Father and I will raise Him up. So there was a Talmud of the Baal Shem Tov by the name of Rav Meir Miprimishlan. He was one of the greatest Talmidim of the Baal Shem Tov. And he said when he thought about this pasuk, he realized that we're really describing two divergent groups of people. When we say, Zakeli v'anveyu, Elokei avi v'arom emenu. There are some people, he writes, who spend their entire lives trying to explore and understand and research what God is all about. They want to seek out what His presence means to them, how focused they should be on every aspect of God. That is their lifelong mission, to uncover the reality of what it means to have a God in the world. They try to make significance out of what God's contribution is to humanity and how He's supposed to relate to the life that they're living. That person is the one who throughout life says, Zeh Keli, I have found God here, I have found God there, I understand how He fits into my life. Ve'anvehu. We praise such a person, that they have successfully been able to forge a meaningful relationship with God Himself. that God actually means something significant to you, that you can point at some moment in life and say, Zeh Keli, if I ask you what does God mean to you, you have something to say. That relationship is a meaningful one. That's amazing. But there are others, he says, who spend their entire lives overemphasizing the aspect of Elokei Avi. My father was such a great tzaddik. He used to daven vasikin every day, and he wore the gartel, and he grew up in Europe. And all the great stories, he used to daven with so much kavana, and you should have seen my mother when she would cry when she lit the Shabbos candles and the table that she set, and what yontif looked like in her house, and how my father went to the mikveh every morning, and my grandparents, you know, they would never eat the cheap marah that we eat today. They ate the real bitter horseradish the way it's supposed to be done. In Europe, that's what we all did. And they wouldn't dare eat kibrooks. And we tell all these stories about those who wouldn't carry in the Erev, and those people who only eat Pas Yisrael and Chalav Yisrael and all these different things, and it's great. But how often do those stories stop there? And all we spend our lives talking about is Elokei Avi, my father this, my mother that, my grandparents here. How does your life reflect all of those relationships that your grandparents had? All of those wonderful minhagim, and Pesach is certainly a time when we think about it, because we all have memories of the minhagim of our parents and our grandparents and how they kept Pesach and what it meant to them. Well, leave it all aside for a moment. What does it mean to you? If we would ask ourselves, how do we translate that into the realm of Zeh Keli? This is my God. Forget about your parents for a minute, and your grandparents, and whoever you come from. What does God mean to you? You sit down at the Seder and you talk about the miracles. Let's think about it. What does the Ribbono Shel Olam mean to me? Do I have any connection with Him? Do I have a relationship with Him? I daven every day. I do prepare for Pesach. I do all kinds of things. But do I actually have any meaningful connection to the Ribbono Shel Olam at all? Or does everything that He represents come only because of the family that I was born into? It's a challenge that I struggle with every day. It's not easy being Rav Schechter's son. Let me just say that. It's not. And there are many aspects of it that are very challenging. And one of the greatest things that I find to be difficult is finding one's place in the relationship with the Jewish community and with God Himself when you have a person in your life who you are so close with, who has developed a more profound and important relationship with God than you'll ever make. And you can spend your whole life hiding behind that. And I could. And you can easily get away with it. I remember when I was at some stage in my yeshiva career, I was in one yeshiva and I wanted to go somewhere else. In the middle of the year, it was Hanukkah time. Most of the time they don't accept boys in the middle of the year. But I was very frustrated in the place where I was, and I wanted to leave. Now, this new place where I was trying to settle into did not want to accept a student in the middle of the year. So I called up my father. I said, Daddy, listen, this Rosh Hashiva is a student of yours. Can you do me a favor and let him know it's your son that's trying to get into the yeshiva? My father thought I fell off the moon. And I remember he said to me, if you deserve to get in, you'll get in. And if not, you don't belong there. Why would I call? Why should it make a difference that you're my son? And it was a powerful message, and it's important. Because you can live your whole life saying, Zeh Keli, this is my father, this is my grandparents, these are the memories, this is what life is about. But do you ever make time to figure out whether there's any part of your life that is Zeh Keli, where I myself have my own connection, have my own place, have my own contribution? Does God actually mean something to me? We have an amazing Gemara, Maseches Sanhedrin. The Gemara tells us that one of the first instructions that is given to a melech, that's given to a king, is that he has to write a personal Sefer Torah. And he has to have a Sefer Torah that goes with him, V'karabo kol yemei chayav. He has to read from the Sefer Torah every day of his life. And the Gemara there says, Afal pi shehinichu lo aviv Sefer Torah. What if my father was the king and now I inherited the mantle of leadership from him. And obviously my father followed the rules, and he had a Sefer Torah that he commissioned. Says the Gemara, Afal pi shehinichu lo aviv Sefer Torah, mitzvah sheyichtov lo mishalo. This king, when he takes over the mantle of leadership, needs to write and commission his own. And it's a powerful statement of the Gemara. Because it's something that's meant not only for kings, it's something that's meant for every Jew. At least in my case. And I think it goes for all of us. Our parents and our grandparents left us over Sifrei Torah. They left us over so many memories and so much to think about. Afal pi shehinichu lo aviv Sefer Torah, you can spend your whole life relishing in this amazing legacy of your parents and grandparents and what your family stands for and who your yichus is. You can spend your whole life being busy with that and getting lost in it. But says the Gemara, mitzvah sheyichtov lo mishalo. Doesn't matter what they've done. It's time to stand up as an adult and say, what is my Sefer Torah going to look like? What is my relationship and connection with the Ribono Shel Olam going to look like? How am I going to fashion a real relationship that is something that's meaningful to me? Not to my parents, not to my grandparents. Leave them aside. Stand on your own and ask yourself, does the Ribono Shel Olam mean something to me? So when we sit on the night of the Seder, and we think about our sense of emunah, and we think about what does it mean to have that meaningful relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which as we said, is what the Leil HaSeder is meant to be all about. It's the Leil HaEmunah. It's the night that we're supposed to remind ourselves of how central a figure the Ribono Shel Olam is in all of our lives. When we do that, and when we do it successfully, make sure to set aside at least a few minutes on Leil HaSeder or at some point throughout the season of Pesach and allow yourself to consider that penetrating question. It's true that we all have minhagim that we follow. We all have things that we do. We all have memories in our minds of what Pesach was like in our parents' or grandparents' homes. But ask yourself that question this Pesach. What does the Ribono Shel Olam mean to me? What have I invested in making my relationship with Him something that's real? When I say next time, Echad mi yodea, somebody stops me in the street and says, do you have one? And you don't know what they're looking for. Does one always remind you of Hashem Echad? Is the focus of my life something that makes the Ribono Shel Olam proud? Is the focus of my life always on Him? Have I worked hard in order to develop that sense of not Elokei Avi, but that sense of appreciation for what it means, Zekeli? Have I worked hard in life to actually make sure that I write a Sefer Torah that is my own? That I write a story that's meaningful to me? That's what Leil HaSeder is meant to be about. We only need it once a year. Once a year is enough to forge that relationship. And once you have it forever. Once you think about it, it should be something that's constant. It should be something that is a part of our just automatic mindset. It's a part of everything that we do. But Pesach is the time that we need to invest in making that relationship meaningful, in making it something real, in making sure that the Ribono Shel Olam has a real place in our hearts and our minds, in making sure that we understand that Rami, Oved, Avi, in every generation they've tried, they've attempted to destroy our relationship with our God, but it will never happen. Yoshe b'shamayim yischak, tamid misaprim kevod kel. This is the way the Jewish people always have been, and this is the way the Jewish people always will continue to be. And with that in mind, I wish all of you a chag kosher v'sameach, and we'll meet